the inspiration of Hasidus, of the Hasidic teachings, have spread far and wide. So this is the festival. We're celebrating, I guess we're celebrating the gift that we have, that we're able to learn such things and access such things. So I thought we would discuss this a little bit, because I don't know if everyone listening here is very familiar with the teachings of Hasidus. And I thought we would do this in the form of taking things that everyone knows about, basic concepts in Judaism, and perhaps you can provide, I mean, obviously every single one of these topics we could probably spend weeks on just alone, provide a brief synopsis of what the Hasidic teachings have done for everyone, for you specifically in these.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome everyone back to another JP Show. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe, leave a review, whatever you can do to keep the JP Show alive and spreading. So it's the end of the year and it's warm, and I get the feeling that everyone looks very tired. What do you think, Levi?
I think that might be a projection, but...
I was just thinking that, maybe.
But anyway. Special days. We're in very, very special days. We're at the second half of the month of Kislev.
Right.
Which has had some very special days. So, of course, next week is Hanukkah, which we'll discuss next week. A very important festival. But actually, tonight is also a festival, a different type of festival. It's a Hasidic festival.
Clarify, when you say tonight, you're talking about Monday night, because people might not hear this till Tuesday.
That's correct.
Yep.
I'm not sure when this is going out. But yeah, anyway, but the 19th of Kislev and the 20th of Kislev, they're both considered very festive Hasidic days. And without going into too much historical detail, the basic idea is that the first Chabad Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, his name was Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi. He was imprisoned in Tsarist Russia for various reasons. Different lies were told about him. And on the 19th of Kislev, he was freed. But it was always looked at both by himself and the other Rebbes of Chabad and general by the Hasidic movement, that it wasn't just a physical imprisonment. There was a spiritual meaning behind it. The Alter Rebbe took the great mystical teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and really explained them in a way that could be taught to the masses and everyone could understand them. And there was almost like pushback from heaven, so to speak. Like, how can you do such a thing? You're taking such great things and making it accessible to simple people. But the fact that he went out free means that from heaven they now agree that this is the correct thing to do. And since then, more and more, every generation, these deep teachings have become very widespread. Nowadays, they're learned by everyone and anyone, and all different languages and forms. And the inspiration of Hasidus, of the Hasidic teachings, have spread far and wide. So this is the festival. We're celebrating the gift that we have, that we're able to learn such things and access such things. So I thought we would discuss this a little bit, because I don't know if everyone listening here is very familiar with the teachings of Hasidus. And I thought we would do this in the form of taking things that everyone knows about, basic concepts in Judaism, and perhaps you can provide, I mean, obviously every single one of these topics we could probably spend weeks on just alone, provide a brief synopsis of what the Hasidic teachings have done for everyone, for you specifically in these things that everyone knows about, but there's some depth and an inner meaning that has been provided because of this day of the 19th of Kislev.
Okay, so sounds good.
That sounds good. Okay. Let's start off with God. God is a pretty basic concept of Judaism. Without it, there is no Judaism, of course. The Rambam, Maimonides, tells us there are 13 principles of faith. I think around 5 of them deal with just the existence of God. There's only one God. God doesn't have a body. All the type of things that the deep things that the Rambam discusses there. Every Jew believes in God. We pray to God. We serve God. How has your perception of God changed because of your learning of Hasidus?
Okay. That's an easy light topic.
That's right.
Now, I'm happy you said that each thing you're going to bring up really a topic on its own, which we can spend weeks on and so on and so forth. But I think to summarize it in a nutshell, it works like this. We know that our belief in God is very rooted in the sentence of the Shema. Right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is Hashem God is one God. I remember, you know, we say Shema multiple times a day. I remember one of my Hasidic teachers, mentors, he was having a Fabringen and he said, you know, what does Hashem Echad mean as one God? It means that other gods aren't true, like there's just only one God, like we can't only believe in one God. He says, for that you have to say Shema four times a day. I mean, that's every baby knows that. Of course, there's only one God. What are we going to believe in some other religion or something? It's one God and finished. So, but nevertheless, obviously, that is a translation. Then, of course, there's a translation. One God means there's only one source of our sustenance, only one source of blessing. Like Maimonides says in the 13 principles, we have to believe that there's only one authority to pray to, because he alone is the source of everything that we have, all blessings that we have, physical and spiritual, he's actually the source of, and so on and so forth, right? Then came Hasidic teachings based on teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and really explained at length in the Tanya, which is the book of the Alter Rebbe, the one that was freed on Yutes Kislev, on the 19th of Kislev, the magnum opus of Hasidic philosophy, of Chabad Hasidic philosophy, really. And he developed a new, not a new, but a deeper idea of what it means, Hashem Echad. That Hashem Echad doesn't mean there's one God to the exclusion of other gods, but Hashem Echad really means oneness, that is actually there's only really one reality, right? Now, what does that mean? In essence, what it means is that he develops this idea that everything is created by God, but not only once. That there's a constant recreation of the world. In other words, because like Hashem created the world in the 6 days of creation, and he did it using the ten basic sayings. We call them Asara Mamarot, the 10 sayings of creation. And they keep on infusing energy into every creation constantly. And were God to withdraw, he explains, and this is a long idea why it comes to that conclusion, but if God were to withdraw his godly creative energy from any creation for one moment, the creation would simply cease to exist. Now, if you think about that a little bit, right, it means that the creation, the stone, the animal, the table, doesn't really have an independent existence. Because it of course it exists, God created it, a world, but it has no independent existence because it is totally dependent on the godly creative energy that's in it. In other words, it's really just an expression on a deeper level. When you see a world, you see something that appears to be separate from God. You see something that seems to be not only separate from God, you see something that maybe conceals the godly existence. This is not a world where God's presence is actually obvious, right? That's the truth. It's not a spiritual world, not a godly world. It's a very mundane world. In fact, you don't see God just looking at the world. And yet we learn Hashem Echad. Actually, everything that exists is an expression of the godly creative energy that is in it. So it's not separate from God at all. Our job is to reveal that. Our job is to see that. And our job, therefore, is not to give independent importance and significance to that particular thing that exists. Because, after all, it has no real independent value. Its value is that it's created by God, and therefore its value is when it's used for godly purposes.
Mm.
That's a very, very brief synopsis, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
But I guess the point is this, right? The point is that Hasidic philosophy, starting with the Baal Shem Tov, but much more taken into the intellectual sphere by the Alter Rebbe, is to look at the what we call pnimius. In other words, to look at it's not just the inner secrets of the Torah. It's the inner secrets of Torah teachings which reveals the inner secrets within everything else.
Yeah.
Like, what is the world really? What's at the heart of it? What's beneath the surface? What's beneath the surface of a Jew? And so on and so forth.
Yeah, no,
what's
we'll
the
get
secret
to
behind existence?
Yeah, we'll get to those other things in a moment. I'll just add, like, besides for what you just said, and obviously what you just said actually is the foundation upon probably everything we're going to talk about based on this idea. This is the essence of Hasidic teachings, that there's nothing else besides for God, and everything is an expression of Hashem, and we have to use it in the context of serving God. Also, I think that just in general, like when you learn Hasidic teachings, a lot of it is deep mystical stuff about the upper worlds and God's attributes, and you're really studying God, so to speak. I mean, understanding that obviously God transcends logic, and we really can't understand the full picture, but as much as we're able to, we're given to be able to internalize godliness. And it makes Hashem really real. I guess like it's like a, it's not just a concept. Like there's a God, and that's sort of in the back of my mind, and we keep the mitzvot, and we have the culture of Judaism, but it's actually like God takes a very much a center place in our life. I think that's also very important. There's a very powerful story they say about the Baditshever, who was a colleague of the Alter Rebbe, sort of the same generation. He was a student of the Mezutra Magid. That when he first came to the Hasidic movement, he spent a few years learning by the Magid of Mizrich, and he came home, and he was married at the time, and his father-in-law asked him, like, what did you learn over there? So he said, I learned that there's a God. So they started laughing. It's like, it's called over like the woman who cleaned the house. It's the simple Jewish woman. Ask her. So they asked her. I said, yeah, of course. What kind of question is that? Is there? So he said, she says there's a God. I know there's a God. Right? In other words, when you're steeped in this idea, it's not just something that you believe in that's sort of like at the back of your mind. You know it. It's real. It's tangible. Right. It becomes right. Becomes a real reality. Okay. Let's talk about what Bina is all about. Torah learning. Right, Torah learning is the foundation of a Jew. Our sages tell us the Talmud Torah connected kulam. The study of the Torah is the greatest mitzvah. It's how we know what it means to be a Jew in general. What is learning specifically the Hasidic teachings add to when you open up a book of Talmud, a book of Jewish law? Is it like two separate things that have nothing to do with each other, or it sort of adds depth into that as well?
No, so once again, same idea that Chassidus reveals the secret behind what you're doing. So on the surface, if you open up a halachically complex page of Talmud, it could even be to do with damages, like, or litigation, or anything that's in the Talmud, right? On the surface, it's just a very deep, and yeah, of course, given by God. We understand it's given by God, and it's you know it's divinely inspired by God, and so on. But you look at it as a deep intellectual pursuit. It's very academic. Very stimulating and very deep, right? Which is all true. What the inner part of Torah teaches is that it's much more than that. It's actually, God is in the Torah. The Torah is an expression of God, and it's an expression of godliness. And in fact, we learn how the Torah we learn actually is a lower level of Torah, which means it's the godly wisdom that has evolved into human language. And human circumstance. But actually, there's higher levels of Torah, the way it's studied in the higher worlds. And the Torah, like the Zohar says, is one with God. And it's an expression of God's will and God's intellect. And it transcends and precedes the world. Once the world was given, of course, it evolves into the worldly circumstance, worldly terminology. But and the concept is that God wanted to give us a way to become one with him. And the way that works is through the Torah. The Torah evolves from one level to the next, and it's taught to us in the way we can understand it, and we delve deeply into it, and we internalize it because we intellectually internalize it. What happens is an amazing thing, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that actually the essence of Torah remains in its original authentic purity, and God remains in the Torah. So the analogy he gives is, let's say you embrace a king. There's a king, and he's wearing clothing. Then he puts on a sweater. Then he puts on a coat. Then he puts on something else. He puts on garment after garment after garment, right? And you then have the opportunity to actually embrace the king. But you embrace the king, you're actually embracing the 10 layers of clothing. Does it make a difference? Will you say that person didn't embrace the king because he was embracing the fur, the outer fur coat? No. You embrace the king is there. Just maybe has more garments, so he's a bit more hidden, but you've got the king. When we learn Torah, it's not just an intellectual pursuit. It's not an academic subject. It's godliness. When you learn Torah, you learn that this is the answer to the question. This is the question. This is the answer. This is the litigation. This is the conclusion. And you're learning God's wisdom, and you understand it, and you delve deeply, and you intellectualize it, and you analyze it, and you grasp it. You've actually grasped God himself. And that goes for any piece of Torah, any part of Torah that we study. Whole new look on the greatness of studying Torah.
So we've discussed God, we've discussed the Torah. How about the Jew? Oh. I mean, I think this is probably in a way, like the most, I mean, they're all profound, but I feel like this is like, I guess really defines what we do more than anything else. Like the idea of no matter where you've been, who you are, what your experiences are, you're a Jew. And is that something that the Hasidic teaching sort of...
So first of all, we know it goes back to the Baal Shem Tov, right? The Baal Shem Tov, when he revealed himself and he created the Hasidic movement, there was an issue plaguing the Jewish nation at the time where there was some disconnect between those that were more observant and scholarly and the simple person, right? And almost the simple person was almost like looked down upon because he wasn't able to reach the same level, scholastic level or spiritual level, whatever the case is, of those that were there on top. The Baal Shem Tov came and revealed the intrinsic value of every Jew that comes to the Jew's neshama. And in that neshama, in that soul, is faith. And every Jew has it. And every Jew is equally, therefore, equally precious in the eyes of God. And the way it's elucidated and explained and expanded in Hasidic teachings from the Alter Rebbe downwards is understanding the intrinsic, deep connection that every Jew has. Now, we know that Torah learning is so important. Jewish observance is so important. It's how we make, how we fulfill the purpose of creation, how we bring God into the world, how we nurture our faith, how we nurture our connection with God. But it doesn't create the connection between the Jew and God. Every Jew, deep down, has a part of his soul that is pure. Doesn't matter where he or she has been or what he or she has done. Every Jew has a deep, inseparable bond with God that actually does not depend on the level of observance or knowledge of Torah mitzvah. That's not to say that's not important. It's critically important. Mm. It becomes more important. Once you know that you are a Jew, no matter what you do, no matter how much you can learn, no matter how much you observe, actually you should be more motivated to come closer to Hashem and to nurture that intrinsic connection, to reveal it. And its revelation, of course, is through Torah. Its revelation is through mitzvot. And its nurturing and its exposure comes through the Torah and the mitzvot. But not the intrinsic value is not created by Torah and mitzvot. It is actually intrinsically there. And therefore, the Baal Shem Tov taught how we have to look at a Jew. We don't look at his externalities. We don't look at his superficiality. We look at who he really is. And the answer for that is every single Jew, who they really are, is their soul, which is inseparably connected to God. A gem.
Amazing. So let's just end off with two more ideas, sort of two sides of one coin. I don't use the word mental health. That's sort of a different subject. But I mean to say like joy, happiness, you know, serenity, sort of that part of our life. And also the physical experiences of life, like eating, drinking, everything that we do. How is Yutes Kislev, the teachings of Hasidus, change that for you?
Well, I mean, it changes in general with Yiddishkeit, but it's causes taking to a whole new depth when you learn Hasidic philosophy in terms of understanding. Like that idea we spoke about before, like the physical world having its, first of all, the happiness is unbelievable. What is something Alter Rebbe says in Tanya? Knowing that whoever we are, God absolutely loves us, and we are precious, and we have the neshama, and we should never give up hope, and we always connected. We just have to maybe work harder to expose that connection. That should cause the biggest simcha, the biggest joy of a year. That imagine that I when I learn some Torah, I'm becoming one with God. I have an intrinsic bond with Him anyway, and that it never goes away. It's eternal. I might have strayed, and I might have been so not well behaved for the last 10 years, but still, he wants me back. He welcomes me back because he's so intrinsically and deeply connected. That should be the source of tremendous simcha, of tremendous joy. We're living with a greater reality. We're living with God. We're not just some fragile existence. We are part of God's existence. We're part of His love. We're part of His embrace. We're part of His infinity, which is incredible, right? In terms of the physical world, the same thing. One of the whole jobs we have, because we understand it differently now. The world as we see it is a place that resists godliness. But then we learn that really it's only its externality that does that. In truth, in essence, the world is a place that is compatible with godliness because its whole existence is an expression of God's creative energy. Right? So therefore, that's why in Yiddishkeit in general, but especially the way it's understood through the Baal Shem Tov and Hasidic mystics and so on, is that Yiddishkeit is not about running away from the world. Now, it is maybe running away from worldliness as an independent significance. But when we understand that the world is really something of actually it's godly, when we look at a table, we look at a chair, we look at the sea, at the ocean, at the flower, whatever, there are different tools to serve God with. That's why all the mitzvot in Judaism are all about mostly all physical. Because the physical is not an independent reality that opposes God or godliness. It's actually something that we can be used as a tool to serve God, and you can reveal its true essence by using it for something godly. In Judaism, if it's done right, sexuality is holy.
Mm.
Food can be holy. I mean, so many mitzvot related with food, as long as we don't fress, but because they're not just about ourselves, they're about godliness. But everything physical, relationship, everything is potentially unbelievably holy.
Yeah.
Because God is no less there than he is anywhere else. We just have to reveal it.
Amazing. Okay. We'll be back here next week discussing Hanukkah.
Okay, yeah. Next week, we have to have a Hanukkah special. This Hanukkah starting Sunday night. Everyone should get the menorahs ready.
Mm.
Don't forget every night at home to light the Hanukkah candles and fulfill this beautiful mitzvah of light and warmth.
Till then,
have a wonderful day, wonderful week, everyone. See you next week.